From Vermont Public, this is The Frequency. I'm Mitch Wertlieb. It's Monday, February 3rd, and here are today's headlines. Vermont Education Secretary Zoe Saunders offered a first look late last week at the numbers behind Governor Phil Scott's education funding reform idea. Based on today's enrollment figures, the governor's proposed formula would send an estimated $2.1 billion to Vermont schools. That's about $184 million less than current spending levels. Darren Allen is a spokesman for the Vermont NEA, the Union for Local Teachers. He said those figures would require mass layoffs.
There's no administrative savings that would add up to that. There's no efficiencies that add up to that. And sadly, our conclusion, again, without any grand amount of detail, is that hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people who teach our children every day will be out of work.
Administration officials are expected to release additional details about their proposal over the coming weeks. Meanwhile, on the climate front, Governor Scott, a Republican, is looking to roll back virtually every major climate law enacted by the democratically controlled legislature over the last 4 years. And the environmental advocates, who have enjoyed so much influence in Montpelier, suddenly find themselves on the defensive. Peter Sterling is executive director of Renewable Energy Vermont. He says advocates will have to make the economic case for climate policy if they want to keep existing laws in place.
I think it's really up to us as those who are advocating for advancing policies that help fight the climate crisis, right? It's up to us to tell Vermonters, to tell policymakers, how do our projects not only make climate sense, but economic sense? That's our job.
The governor says complying with emissions reductions mandates passed by the legislature in recent years will increase energy costs for Vermonters. In another story related to the effects of climate change, land at three river confluences in the Northeast Kingdom has been conserved for wild fish habitat and flood resilience purposes. For the first time ever, anglers will have access to the confluence of the Clyde River and Churchill Brook in East Charleston. And two existing fishing accesses will be expanded in Morgan and Glover, where the Sucker and Valley Brooks meet, and on the upper Barton River. Patrick Hurley is with the Memphremagog Watershed Association.
So the Clyde River is kind of a hidden gem in the Northeast Kingdom and in all of Vermont for brook trout. It's one of the most intact cold water fisheries, has superb angling, paddling resources. It also has a very, very heavily forested watershed.
Hurley says river confluences provide important refuge for cold water fish like Atlantic salmon and brook trout when temperatures get warm. Brook trout, Vermont state fish, are expected to see major habitat loss in the coming decades due to human-caused climate change. Democratic lawmakers are sounding the alarm over the future of federal funding in Vermont under President Trump. Trump last week rescinded an executive order that would have frozen hundreds of millions of dollars in federal grants to Vermont, but lawmakers worry that money could still be jeopardized in the next federal budget bill. And Senate Majority Leader Keisha Ram Hinsdale says state budget writers will be looking for ways to gird against cuts to state agencies and nonprofits.
Right now, we are enumerating those harms and starting to look at where in the budget we will need to reinforce our own self-sufficiency to be addressing those. And that's going to take all of us, regardless of party.
Federal funding makes up about a third of overall government spending in Vermont. And coming up, Vermont's state treasurer is also concerned about how Vermont will navigate the waters of Trump's second term as president. To prepare, his office has created a task force to help the state make sense of and respond to the flurry of executive orders that have emerged since Trump took office. Details are coming up after this.
Thanks for listening to The Frequency, where support comes from VITA, supporting business growth and innovation in the Green Mountain State. From agriculture to manufacturing, energy to food production, find solutions that turn your business dreams into reality. Visit VEDA.org and see how VITA can help make it happen.
In his first 2 weeks back in office, President Trump has issued executive orders at a blistering pace. Already, his administration is reshaping how the government approaches wide-ranging issues like federal spending, immigration, gender, and climate, among other things. Local officials are figuring out how to respond to many of those seismic shifts, including State Treasurer Mike Pichek. His office created a task force to help guide Vermont through the transition into the second Trump presidency. And Pichek recently sat down with Vermont Public producer Nathaniel Wilson to share more.
To start, can you describe why you decided to form a task force to guide Vermont through this transition into the second Trump term?
Yeah, so I thought back about the first Trump presidency. I was at the Department of Financial Regulation at that time as the commissioner. When we were proactively communicating with all the stakeholders and other parts of state government within, the private sector, within, small businesses, nonprofits, hospitals, we were able to better protect Vermonters and get ahead of fast-changing federal policy. When we weren't doing a great job of being proactively coordinated, I noticed there were times where maybe we didn't do a great job of getting ahead of this fast-changing policy.
And have there been similar panels for earlier presidential transitions?
Yeah, I can't think of any. I know that other state treasurers across the country are coordinated together and are thinking about doing something similar to what we're doing in Vermont. You know, I think what's unique about this administration relative to other presidential transitions is they sort of were promising a lot of change coming into office. I think you could have one of these transitions whenever there's a change in administration because there will be change in federal policy, and you want to be thinking about what are the opportunities that will come from that new administration, the new policy changes, and then what are the challenges that you want to be able to sort of think about and work through. But it was particularly applicable here where we knew that the goal was going to be sort of fast-moving, disruptive policy changes.
Who comprises this task force? What kind of work are you doing, and how will Vermonters feel that work?
Our co-chair is Sue Minter, who was the Secretary of Transportation under Governor Shumlin. She previously was a disaster recovery officer during Hurricane Irene. She had run Capstone, which is the largest social service provider in central Vermont. Other than Sue, we have a representative from a rural hospital. We have a representative from a business community, a nonprofit, immigration expert. We have a representative that recently was in the federal government. And then we have someone that is part of the regional planning commission network. So someone that works with municipalities, works with local government. And then how will people feel, you know, the work of this committee? You know, it'll be sort of broken up into a couple of areas. One thing we're doing, and I think this will be the first sort of proactive thing that has come out of the committee, is we're hosting a webinar Thursday at 11 o'clock for small businesses and nonprofits, so basically for employers, thinking about what should you be prepared for and what should you do if ICE shows up at your door as an employer. What are your responsibilities? What are your rights? This was something that came out of the task force work. We heard from a task force member who said they were frustrated that they had to be thinking through this kind of an issue with, instead of focusing on their business. And it just sort of sprung on us, well, what if we are bringing experts in who can help businesses think about this issue, nonprofits think about this issue together? We've also thought about policy ideas, this idea that maybe Vermont should be thinking about reserving for natural disasters in the future. So we have reserves in our budgets in case there's an economic downturn, things that we can tap into. But maybe we should do the same thing specifically for natural disasters, both because they're happening a lot and frequently in Vermont, and we rely heavily on the federal government in that regard. So just purely having funds available for matching funds is important. But what happens if the federal money's not as certain in the future? So we'll continue to be thinking about policies, again, that we can be suggesting to the legislature, advocacy we can be doing to the federal delegation, work we can be doing with the administration, and just communication that we can be doing broadly to Vermonters, individual business owners, nonprofits, and the like, to try to help them, you know, make good decisions in this changing federal environment.
The Trump administration sent out a memo saying federal spending on all grants and loans would be halted while they review government policies. A judge blocked that order before it was ultimately rescinded. Then the White House press secretary came out and said a funding freeze would still be, quote, rigorously implemented. It's unclear as we record this exactly how that will work, which has raised confusion nationally among some government officials. But setting the plan itself aside for a second, how do these situations impact how the state and organizations that rely on federal funding go about their business?
Yeah, well, it sows confusion and it sows chaos at the bottom line. I mean, we've heard from nonprofits throughout the week who said, hey, we went into our funding portal where we usually get, you know, an opportunity to pull down federal funds for the programs that we operate or making payroll, and we were closed out of those portals. And it was concerning. It was shocking. you know, they told us we might be able to make it a few weeks, but after that, we're going to have to start cutting critical services that we provide to Vermonters. So hearing that, hearing organizations across the state having that same experience, hearing from Medicaid departments across the country who said they were shut out, states were shut out of their Medicaid portal, was really concerning. And again, caused a lot of confusion, caused a lot of chaos, and organizations that normally would be doing the work of housing and feeding and protecting people were distracted by, oh my gosh, this is an existential crisis. What do we do in a week or 2 weeks or 1 month or 2 months from now? So that was really concerning. When you think about the Vermont budget, we just talk about this in generalities, you know, 36% of our state budget contains federal funding. And most of that funding is for federal programs that the federal government has said states are directed to operate or in partnership with the federal government. So the federal government is telling us you have to operate this program, and then they're threatening to withhold the funding to operate the program. So that is, again, really disruptive when you think about state government and the ways that we plan and operate and make sure that we have the amount of cash that we need in the treasurer's office to make sure we're making payroll and filling projects and, you know, moving forward on plans that have been in the works for a long time. And then when there is a threat of funding being withheld, it throws all of that, you know, into chaos.
You've been hearing from State Treasurer Mike Pichek. Treasurer Pichek, thanks so much for taking the time for Vermont Public listeners today. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, of course. Thank you for having me.
And that was Vermont Public producer Nathaniel Wilson. Thanks for listening to The Frequency today. We had additional reporting from Lola Dufour, Peter Hirschfeld, and Abigail Giles. Our executive producer is Kevin Trevelin, and our music is by Blue Dot Sessions. I'm Mitch Wertlieb. Talk to you tomorrow.
Each morning, it's a new opportunity, a chance to start fresh. Up First from NPR makes each morning an opportunity to learn and to understand. Choose to join the world every morning with Up First, a podcast that hands you everything going on across the globe and down the street, all in 15 minutes or less. Start your day informed and anew with Up First by subscribing wherever you get your podcasts.